Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
The purpose and the power and the role of the Holy Spirit. Understanding the role and the purpose of the governor of the kingdom. That's our title tonight, session number 3. Understanding the role and the purpose of the governor of the kingdom of God. In our first session, which I would like to quickly review for those who were not here and those watching us live around the world tonight, I wanted to basically just give you a quick review. It will take just about 3 or 4 minutes to do this, but if you were not here, I want you to write very fast. First of all, we talked about the value of the governor. And the kingdom of God is not a religion. Religions do not have governors. Governments have governors. And the kingdom of God is the government of God, headed by King Yeshua, pronounced Jesus or Joshua. The kingdom of God is therefore the governing influence of a king over a territory, impacting and influencing that territory with his will, his purpose, and his intent. So the kingdom of God is not a religion. It is a country with a government. Heaven is a country, if I can use that term. And earth is heaven's colony. God created earth to colonize earth with the kingdom of heaven, just like Great Britain took over these islands and colonized these islands as Great Britain's territory. And so what we learned last week is that the most important person in a territory or a colony is the governor. And I think it's important to just give you a quick confirmation that the governor of the kingdom of heaven is the Holy Spirit. Now, in our last session, we talked very hopefully clearly that for those of you who were never born under a kingdom like I was in 1954, I was born under the kingdom of Great Britain. So I know what a king and a kingdom is like. And all kingdoms like to colonize or take new territory. And when a kingdom takes a territory, their goal is to make the territory just like their kingdom. In other words, the reason for colonization is for conversion, to convert the territory into the kingdom's culture, the kingdom's language, the kingdom's dress and food and clothing and the whole works. A kingdom colonizes to convert, so that whatever is happening in the kingdom happens in the colony. Now, the way a kingdom influences and converts a colony is by placing in the colony a person whose job it is to introduce the kingdom's culture, language, lifestyle, and every type of unique aspect of the kingdom to that colony. When the Bahamas was under the great kingdom of Great Britain, they sent a man to live in the Bahamas. That man could not be a Bahamian. He had to be from the kingdom. There is a house built in our capital, Nassau. That house is called Government's House. It actually should be called Governor's House. The governor is the person sent by the king to the colony to make the colony just like the kingdom. So the government, the governor's job is a very simple job: to turn the colony into the kingdom. That's why he's put there. He had to come from the king. Because he has to know the mind of the king, the will of the king, and the intent and purpose of the king, because his job is to carry out the king's desires in the territory. That's why he had to come from the king. Every governor of the Bahamas for over 200 years has been from England. In 1973, the Bahamas cut off relationship with England. It is called independence. Independence means that the governor had to leave because he is no longer the authority in the colony, because independence makes you your own authority. So when Adam cut off relationship with God, the Holy Spirit had to leave. So Adam then became his own authority. And that is what is called the fall of man. The fall of man is simply the declaration of independence from heaven. It's man telling the government of heaven, I don't wish you to rule this territory anymore. And so the governor left. Now, remember, earth is not man's property. The earth is the Lord's, the Bible says, and the fullness thereof. So the earth is still God's property, but God lost influence over it because the influencer, the Holy Spirit, that lived inside the man had to leave when the man disobeyed, disconnected himself from the government of heaven, God. So man became his own authority. And just like the Bahamas became independent, what did Bahamas do? Chose its first Bahamian governor. Which means that the only thing that governor could teach us is what we already know. And there's the problem of mankind. Man is dumb because he is his own teacher. That's why every leader we produce is just like us. Corrupt politicians, thieving politicians, homosexual politicians, you know, adultery committing politicians, bribing politicians. You see, you can't produce anybody better than yourself. That's why for God to save the world, he couldn't come to earth and find someone. He had to send someone from outside back into the world. Because you cannot produce something better than yourself from yourself if you need help with corruption. You yourself have the corruptible seed. You cannot produce anything better than yourself if your seed is corrupt. So sin cannot produce righteousness. So a sinful man cannot produce a righteous baby. Is that clear? And this is why when Mary was approached by the angel, God says, I cannot use a male man to produce a child for me. I gotta have the Holy Spirit to come into you and produce a seed. And that seed shall not be from mankind. It'll be from God. Now, the Holy Spirit, therefore, is the most important person on the earth. Secondly, the most important thing man lost was the Holy Spirit. Do you see why? Do you see why? Because man was given a mandate found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Can I read it again? Let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. Next statement. And let them have dominion over the earth. The word dominion is the word mamlakak in Hebrew, and it means kingdom. Let them have kingdom over the earth. Let them have influence for my country of heaven on earth. Man was given the job to make earth like heaven. And the only way for that to happen is that the man had to have in him the governor of heaven living on the inside. You know, the house in the Bahamas called the governor's mansion, that is the house in which the foreign entity from England used to live. Well, God says the house he built for himself on earth is your body. Come on now. And your body is the house of the governor of heaven. And when you declared independence through your forefather Adam, the governor left the house. Which means that the only thing that's missing on earth is the governor. Which means that the only work of Jesus is to get the governor back to earth. Don't get all caught up in, you know, Calvary and the blood and all that stuff. All of that is a means to an end. I'm going to prove that. His number one goal was to get back in your house which you lost. Because you cannot bring heaven to earth if you are out of touch with heaven. Logical? That is why when the Bahamas declared independence, that was the last day the governor of Great Britain was in the Bahamas. We never had a governor from Great Britain since. Why? Because we told them we don't want a connection as far as government control. Third point, very important. The solution to all of the world's problems, therefore, is what? The Holy Spirit. Because that's what's missing. That's why we can't solve our crime problems and our broken home problems and our, you know, gay problems and our, you know, lesbian in schools problems. Because we are still trying to solve problems with government programs, and the programs are coming from governments who are also homosexuals. So how can you have a program being solved trying to solve a problem where the problem is the person who made the legislation? You see why we need God? You know what the Bible calls God? The hope of the world. Because why without him? We ain't got no hope. Listen, don't you ever think that our governments could solve and improve your life's problems. If you think so, you are going to be disappointed. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall have eternal life. He that believeth not in me is already damned. In other words, ain't no hope for you if you don't reconnect to the Holy Spirit. Young man, you need the Holy Spirit. Every day of your life, without the Holy Spirit, you are an independent nation who got to pay your own bills. Not smart. Point number four. Every man is searching for the Holy Spirit. Well, that's true, because if what you lost is the Holy Spirit, then everything you're trying to find is what you lost. Now, we try to fill that void with all kinds of things like sex and money and power and glory and fame and all this stuff. And when we get it, we are still empty because that's not what we lost. So we got rich people who are depressed, poor people who are depressed twice. We got folks with 10 wives and no sense. We got men with 5 sweethearts and a wife and none of them happy. We go from disco to disco, party to party, and we're still at home with a hangover, depressed when the sun rises, and we're still trying to figure out why aren't we happy? Because what you're missing ain't what you're going after. You are missing the Holy Spirit. Write this down, number 5, number 6. The greatest promise God made to man is the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Why? That's what man lost. Therefore, the ultimate goal of the coming of Jesus was not really Calvary, dying on the cross and all that stuff. That's not his goal. His ultimate goal was to get the Holy Spirit back in every human being. I'm talking about children, teenagers, old men, old women, adults. You remember that the prophet Joel, prophesying about the coming Messiah in Joel chapter 2, he made a statement that didn't make sense at that time. He said, the day will come, it'll be called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord means the day when the Lord arrives on earth. That's what that statement means. The day when the Lord arrives on earth. And he arrived 2,000 years ago. He said, the day of the Lord will come, and he shall give you a sign that he's coming. That he's been here. What's the sign? It says, Your young men and your old men shall see visions. Your young men shall dream dreams. Why? For the Holy Spirit shall come upon how many flesh? I can't hear you. That is unbelievable. It was a prophecy. Now, let me tell you why it was so unbelievable. Because in the day of Joel, the only persons that were known to have the Holy Spirit upon them, not in them, but upon them, were either the prophets or the judges, like Samson. Or the prophets, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lemuel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, then Bacchus, Hidden. Okay, those guys. Okay. In other words, the common people couldn't even think of the Holy Spirit coming upon them. And guess what? And especially women. In those days, a woman, oh man, they couldn't believe a woman to be a priest, a woman to be a prophet. Are you crazy? And here comes Joel saying, but I see a day. Watch him now. He said, the day when all this religious problems you've got, all the theology you've got, God's going to destroy your theology. Because the Holy Spirit shall come upon all flesh. Watch this. Young men, old men, ready? And handmaidens. No wonder why they tried to kill Amos. Because Amos was destroying their priesthood theology. Every human lost the Holy Spirit. Therefore, Christ poured the Holy Spirit back to every human. Every atheist, Buddhist, Hindu, Confucius, watching the program right now, and every person, every 6.8 billion human being, they deserve the Holy Spirit. Yes. That's where religion comes from. Religion comes from man's search for the Holy Spirit. So he creates these different traditions and all this commotion trying to find the Holy Spirit. He's looking for the Holy Spirit. It's the ultimate goal of God. Now, I wanted to introduce to you now a second thought. I'll write this down, please. The limited and unlimited Jesus. Okay. The most important person on earth is the Holy Spirit. We know that. And I explain to you why. Because that's what we lost. But the second point is the key of all, life is the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you want to know what life is, you got to get the Holy Spirit. You got to reconnect to Him. Jesus came to earth to bring mankind the Holy Spirit. Obviously. This was the ultimate purpose and goal of Christ coming to earth, was to bring back the Holy Spirit. I hear Him talking to me. Gosh. Wow. Boy, He's saying some wonderful things. He said, I'm explaining to you what the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit is. Okay. As long as the governor of Great Britain was in the Bahamas, Great Britain was in the Bahamas. The entire government was in the Bahamas, as long as that one man was here. You're getting it. So when Jesus said, change your mind, that means repent. For the kingdom of heaven has returned. He was saying the Holy Spirit has returned to earth. In other words, the government's official authority has returned to planet Earth. Watch this though. The goal of God was not to take us where He is, but to come where we were. That's what colonization is for. Colonization is not bringing the Bahamas to England, but bringing England to the Bahamas. Let me say something practical. In 1954, I was born in the Bahamas. I was born under the kingdom of Great Britain. We sang every morning to the Queen on assembly line. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. And we sang praises. In a kingdom, that's what you do. Every morning you worship the royalty. So every morning when I was a kid, we had to put on our little uniforms, and out in the hot sun, we'd hold a little flag up of Great Britain, you know, what they call the Union Jack, and we had to sing praises to the Queen and King of England. I'm talking about serious praises like, "Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. Britain never, never, never shall be slaves." But we were slaves, you see. But we say they ain't gonna never be slaves, you see. In other words, we had to worship them as our great dominators. Every morning. "God save our gracious Queen, long live our noble King. God save the Queen, born to rule over us." I remember singing in the hot sun. "God save the Queen." And we singing loud every morning. Now watch this. No, watch this. Learn a lesson here. Watch this. We never saw them. And that's important. All my life we sang. You see, you don't need to see Jesus to sing to him. When you are in a... You say, how could you worship a God you ain't never seen? We did it all the time in the Bahamas. We worship and never saw them. We just believed they were there. And their influence was obvious because they made us speak their language. English, you know. Jolly little old chap coming out now. Hello. Hello, lass. And laddie. Have a spot of tie. See, here's my point. They didn't have to come here to make us like them. See the last statement? His goal was not to bring us to England. You don't need to go to England to learn to be like English. Just send a governor in the territory. And the territory becomes like England. Now, here's something to remember. Jesus limited himself. What do I mean by that? When the Holy Spirit came to earth, the only human body that was completely pure without rebellious independence sin was the body of Jesus. Let me say this, listen carefully. If you read the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit never entered a person. Listen to me carefully. From Genesis to Matthew, the Holy Spirit never entered a person. If you read the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, came upon people, then he would leave. Why? He couldn't enter because they were unholy. So when Samson, for example, received the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he would shake himself and the Spirit came upon him, he would get this extra strength, and he would do these great things, and then the Bible said the Holy Spirit would leave him. It says, but the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, it says the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would prophesy, and then he would leave. He couldn't enter them because their bodies were unholy, unholy houses. They were in rebellion, independence. So when God came to earth, God says, I'm going to quote Psalm 38, "A body thou hast prepared for me," prophesying about the coming of Messiah. Which means that God had to prepare a body for himself that was not seeded by a male man from earth. Because whatever is in your genes as a male, you transfer to your offspring. So every man born of woman comes out a sinner. So in Psalms 51, make sure you read that, it says, "I was born in sin and shapen or formed in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 51 verse 5. In other words, you didn't become a sinner. You was born that way. You don't develop sin. You ain't got no choice. That's why no one taught you how to lie. It was in your genes. And at 5 years old, you tell her the biggest lies in the world. No one taught you to steal. Every woman house you mind, house you went to, you got a children toy, mine. Little kid, mine. Thiefing. Ain't no one taught you that stuff. That's why the Bible says you must be born all over again, because your first birth is conceived in sin. People wonder, why do I need to be born again? Because your first birth was a bad birth. And it wasn't your fault. The seed that came from Adam has passed on through you, and you are a sinner by birth. So I don't care if you work, charity, and you joined the Rotary Club, and you joined the Key Club, and you help clean up some neighborhoods and give some poor people some food. You still going to hell. If you ain't born again, you're just a good sinner. That's all you are. So don't get carried away with all that good stuff. Talk to me. Let me tell you what. Being good and a sinner is simply dressing a dog up in clothes. When he get by himself, still bark. So don't try to think that you're going to get out of this thing by being nice and going to church meetings and joining, charitable organizations. That ain't born again. That's called reformation. You're trying to reform yourself. God had to prepare himself a body, because he couldn't live in a body that was unholy. So he built his own body in the womb of a woman. It said the Holy Spirit came upon her, overshadowed her, and the Holy Spirit built a body in her womb for himself. And Jesus came out with no contaminated blood. Now, here's the key. The entire Holy Spirit was in Jesus. So here's another statement. The Holy Spirit never entered a person all during the 6,000 years of the fall of man, 7,000 now. And when Jesus came, he was full of the Holy Spirit. Follow me now. And as long as he was on earth, the Holy Spirit never entered anybody. Very important. He possessed the entire Godhead. You never hear the Holy Spirit coming upon anybody else while he was on earth. Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Spirit completely. Why? Because no other vessel was qualified to receive him. So the Holy Spirit is in Christ. So Jesus Christ, write this down, is God limited. Jesus possessed a dual nature. He was man and he was God. But here's the mystery. He became man to relate God to us, so he could feel what we feel and experience what we experience. And the Bible says he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So he became a true human and yet without sin, because he didn't come from a male man. Even though he was pure human, he was not from a man's seed. Which means then that he was the original man. Again, Adam was created with no sin. That's why Christ is called the second Adam. He was a man without sin and full of the governor. That's why he could say the kingdom of God has arrived. Then he says, he is with you, but shall be in you. But he can't be in you yet, because you are filthy, and I'm going to provide some detergent to clean you up called my blood a little later. Right now he's with you, but he cannot enter you, even though he's right next to you, because you are not qualified to receive him yet. I have not yet died, he says. The Holy Spirit could not enter no disciple who was with Jesus. He had to do something first. Write this down. He was reflecting God to show us what God is like. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's the Holy Spirit in the house, back in a human house, to bring the influence of the kingdom on earth again. That's why his first announcement had to be, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has returned. In other words, the government of heaven is on earth again, and he's living in my body, and therefore the country of heaven is now going to influence earth again. And I'm going to show you what the government of heaven is like. I'm going to show you what the kingdom of heaven is like. So follow me, watch how I work, watch the dominion I take over the earth that you're supposed to take. So he walked on water, cast out demons, spoke the tree, you know, stopped the storm, put the bed, put the sea to bed. I mean, the guy just took over the planet. Then he says, greater work shall you do if you keep following me. I'm going to give you the key. Very important. The Holy Spirit is the most important person on earth. And he was trapped in Jesus. Now, Jesus voluntarily limited himself. In other words, God made a decision, ready for this, to trap himself in one body for 33 and a half years. Now that must have been an awesome expression of love. The God who made the universe, who controlled 500 million galaxies, who created the whole expanse of the powers of all creation, he's going to trap himself on a little planet in the middle of that galaxy and put himself in a little body and lock himself in there for 33 and a half years because he loved the kids on the planet so much. You ought to give him praise. Voluntarily limited himself. What did he lay aside? Write this down. First of all, he laid aside, and this is a very important thing. He laid aside his power and glory. Matter of fact, when he was about to leave, he says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before at the beginning. In other words, I hid my glory, my true nature. I had to hide my true nature in this dirt body. One time he showed his true nature. Remember? He took him on a mountain one time. He said, come here, I'll show you something. And he took three of his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. And for 1 minute, he exposed himself through the flesh. And the Bible says they saw him and he began to shine. And he became brighter than the sun. What is God? The Bible says God is light. So when Christ exposed his true self, he became, the sun had to hide its face. And the Bible says they fell down on the ground. They couldn't believe what they saw. And they hid their faces. And when it was over, they heard a voice. And the voice said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And Christ says to them, when you go down, keep quiet. Don't tell nobody what you saw, he says. Because they ain't going to believe you. But I just showed you a glimpse of my original glory. Secondly, he put aside his eternal riches. All the wealth of heaven, he trapped it in one body. He left it in a body. Then number three, he became subject to time, space, and death. Imagine the God of eternity became a victim of time. The God who owns space locked himself in a small space. And the God who is the creator of death allowed death to kill him. You talk about respecting and loving God. You sing that song tonight, you know, we love you. You got to understand why you got to sing that song. He did that for you. Yes, sir. Eternity was trapped in time so that those in time could be reconnected to eternity. Yes, you ought to give him praise. That's a powerful love. That's love you can't imagine. And he did it in order to bring the earth back in touch with its original kingdom. He became a victim of time and space and death. I write this down. The unlimited Jesus became subject to the law. Galatians 4 verse 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, and subjected to the law. So that those who were under the law could be delivered from the law and become sons of God. Galatians 4:4. Jesus had to rest on a well. Could you imagine God having a tired body? Come on, talk to me. Jesus had to drink water. The man who created the whole ocean had to ask for water. The God who made the trees had to pick fruit. Limited himself. The Holy Spirit was trapped in a body. He was under the laws. He had to go to sleep. Imagine a God who never slumbers nor sleeps. He had to sleep in a boat one time. He was so tired. And all that was for you. I said, all of that was for you. I said, all of that was for you and me. And that's why we lift our hands and thank him and give him praise tonight. Because he did it to redeem, reconnect you to your source, which is heaven. Give him a big praise anyhow. Praise God. Very important. Jesus is God limited. What do we mean by that? The limitation of Jesus, number one, was the time. The Holy Spirit was trapped in one body for 33 years. That's why you never hear about him doing anything for those 33 years. There was no activity anywhere else in the world. Can you believe that? There was no activity anywhere else in the world when Christ was on earth. That's why there are no scriptures written anywhere. This is why there are questions about the Mormon religion. Because Mormons' religion is built on a man named Joseph Smith who lived in America. Who said that he went into a cave and an angel appeared to him. Now, you know, they got different kinds of angels. You can have all kinds of angels appear to you, okay? And that this angel gave him some plates, like print plates, and that the angel gave him all this revelation, and that he got revelation about Jesus' other appearance while he was on earth. He appeared in America to the Indians while he was in Palestine. Now, is that your Bible? The Bible says Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How do you deal with that? That means if he got him all, then he appeared nowhere else. So I leave it to you, you great Mormons. Now, that's why we got a problem with the Church of the Latter-day Saints. And these are wonderful people, don't get me wrong. And they use the name of Jesus and they got a thing worked out. And if you're not careful, you got to check their theology. You got to check it. Because it contradicts what the Bible says about Christ. Even though they even use his name and everything else. So be smart and wise and ask questions and read their books, read them. And you'll see. Matter of fact, one of the Mormons' beliefs, and keep the TV on your Mormons, one of their beliefs is that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are brothers. Did you know that? That they are brothers. I mean, the Bible condemns that stuff. Lucifer is an angel. Jesus is God in the flesh. Come on. The Bible says if any man does not believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, he is an antichrist. So we are not against anybody. We just ain't for them. And that's why Unitarianism becomes a problem. Because unity believes that everybody is right. I mean, everybody can't be right if somebody wrong. So that's where you get the unity problems too, you see. So if you are Unitarian, then that's your problem. But how do you have everybody right? So anyway, I thought I'd throw it in so that you can have some wisdom. Jesus is God trapped in a body for 33 years. Secondly, he limited himself to space. Now this one is very important. Write this down. Jesus is God, and God for 33 and a half years limited himself to one geographical location and area on the earth, and that was around Palestine. Now this is a problem, eh? The one who created the whole planet lived in one little space on earth. Matter of fact, here's a shock. Jesus never left Israel. When he was a boy, just maybe 1 or 2 years old, his parents took him to Egypt to hide from Herod. Jesus didn't go. He was taken by his parents. When they brought him back, imagine, he never left. This is important. He limited himself to a small little strip of land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Golan Heights. And friends, I've been there so many times. That's a little piece of land. He lived there, died there, rose again there. He never left that area. That's important. He kept himself in the land that he promised his people. Trapped in that body. And thirdly, he limited himself to death. He had to look into the eyes of death. He had to deal with death. Remember, God created death. That's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Verse 17 actually is where it's introduced. God told Adam, the day you eat, you will surely encounter a guy named death. Adam didn't know that death even was around. God had to introduce him to death. The devil is not the creator of death. God's difficulty, if I can use that term respectfully, is that he cannot break his word. So when God told Adam, the day you eat, you will surely die, the word surely means, I will make sure you die. Now, the only way to prevent Adam from dying, well, first of all, let me just say this. Who is Adam? Adam is a human. What is a human? A spirit in a body. So the announcement of death was made to what? A human. So in order for God to satisfy his law of death, he has to have a human die. That's why the Bible says it was not angels to whom he gave dominion over the earth. Therefore, angels couldn't die for you. Because they're not humans. Now, God got to keep his word, right? So it means that he got to make sure that a human died. So God is smart. God said, tell you what. I have to keep my word to myself. I can't lie. I got to keep my word. And I got to kill a human. I tell you what I'll do. Since I love you so much, I'll become one of y'all and then kill myself. Is anybody here? That's why that Jesus said, when he came to it, he says, no man takes my life. So the whole argument about the movie, you know, The Passion, was completely ludicrous and unnecessary, and they chose the wrong preachers on CNN. They should have invited me. I could explain it to them. It wasn't the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the Romans that killed him. God killed himself. The Bible says it pleased God to slay him. It pleased who? God to do what? Slay him. God killed himself because he didn't want to kill you. I think he deserved a praise. He gave himself over to death so that he wouldn't have to kill man. But he had to kill a man. That's why Jesus had to be a man to justify the complete resurrection rights of you to come back from the grave. That's why death can't keep you in the grave, you know, because death ain't got no more rights to keep you in the grave because death already did what it was supposed to do. It killed the man. Give God a praise. The wages of sin is death. That's why in order for him to die, he had to have sin in his body, and he had none. So he collected all of ours. And the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we can become the righteous, right standing with the God's government again. You deserve a big praise, man. Hallelujah. This is the best news in the world. You can come back to the government without fear. Because the government has forgiven you for your independence. He says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest from all your labor. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. Your burden, my burden is light and all the stress. He says, you ain't got to build your roads and find water and pay your bills no more. Seek ye first the kingdom, government of God, and all of his righteousness and all these things. Come back to kingdom life. Under the British, we didn't pave no roads. They paved the roads. We didn't protect ourselves. They protected us. But independence, you got to have your own, you know, enforcement, play people, and, you know, what do you call them? Defense force and things. See, you get independence, you got to pay for all of that. And you got them big hole in the road, you got to fix your own road. You got no money, you keep bumping. Because you go on independence, and nobody to help you. But under a kingdom, the kingdom shifts money down to pave the road. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting in the kingdom. That's why Christ says, why do you worry what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, how you will live? He says, the government knows you need these things. Give him a praise on a Monday night, Wednesday night. Praise God. This year shall be a kingdom first year. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so excited for this year. You're going to live at a higher level this year. I promise you, God's going to blow your mind and meet your needs in ways you never dreamt of, because you're going to put his kingdom first. Come back to the kingdom and he takes care of your life. Very important. How did I get there? Praise God. What did you do? Did you touch that? You sure? Oh, I was getting excited. Eh? I did get excited, did I? Oh, okay. But anyhow, you all excited too? Yeah. Better give the Lord another praise and let's see how excited you are. All right, let's just wrap this section. We can pick up here next week. I want you to get this, all right? Write this down. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son. Remember now, you got to send the governor from the headquarters. Because no one in the colony could be governor. Because they can't bring the foreign kingdom to the planet. So God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive what? The full rights of sons. It's about rights. A right to be a son of God again. What a wonderful plan. He entered human flesh by the Holy Spirit. He did nothing without the Holy Spirit. He was the governor in one house. And that was a problem. Why? Because he could not be in more than one place at the same time. Jesus was God limited. Listen, friends, there's somebody sick and God can't be there. They got to go get him. So they sent word to Jesus and said, your friend Lazarus is sick. Now remember, God is omnipresent, but he wasn't for 33 and a half years. He was limited. By the time he got there, Lazarus was dead. Thank God he had the power to raise him. The young woman said to Jesus, come, my daughter is sick. Come. He said, I will come. He had to go to the house. In other words, my daughter died. And he had to go to the house and raise the child. In other words, he couldn't just be anywhere. He was trapped in a body. Let me say this to you. Listen carefully. This is going to be a mind blower. Listen. Some of you wish that Jesus Christ is on earth today. That's a bad wish. Because it would cost you so much money to go see him. And how long you had to wait to go see him in Palestine. The line would be so long, you die before you got to the queue. Am I talking sense? Everybody say, thank God he's gone. Because now he could be everywhere at the same time, because he lives in the human. Oh, give myself away. Give a praise. That's why near the end of his life, he talked much about the Holy Spirit. He said, look, when he said, I'm leaving, they became depressed. He said, why are you depressed? Watch this. John 16:5. You want to read this. Now I am going back to him who sent me, he says. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things that I am leaving, you are filled with grief. In other words, I'm telling you guys, I'm leaving you, and you're depressed. Why? Because you have been attached to my body. You want me to stay. But it's not good for you to stay, for me to stay. Watch this. He says, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am leaving. Why? He says, if I do not go away, then the Holy Spirit will be trapped in one body. He said, this ain't good. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go, I will what? Send him back to you. Remember the governor? He says, when I leave the colony, I'm going to send him back. Now watch this, watch this. Why did he come in the first place? He came in the first place to clean you up. Hallelujah. Why? Because the governor cannot live in an unholy body, because the governor is a holy spirit and you are an unholy body. So he had to come to earth with that one body with pure blood. His blood was so powerful, 6 billion could be washed. And more. As many as received him, to them gave he the authority to call themselves sons of God. And then he says, and if you believe me and my Father, we will come. We will come and make our abode in you. But first I got to clean you up. So let me go to the cross, guys. Don't hold me. Don't keep me here. I got to go get the detergent for you. What a beautiful reminder. He says, better for me, better for you that I go. Don't keep me here. Because right now, y'all got to look for me. But if you let me go, I'll wash everybody. Make you holy again, and then I'm gonna I'm gonna release him, and now he got millions of bodies. He's back home in the colony. See, the problem is the disciples knew him on the sense level. They could touch him, smell him, handle him, taste him, see him. That's bad. And some of you, just like I was, you wish you had Jesus in the flesh. Bad news. In his limited self, you are at a disadvantage. It is his invisible self that makes him unlimited. He can be in the whole colony, all over the world at the same time. And he lives in black houses, brown houses, white houses, yellow houses, you know, dark houses, bright houses. He lives in short houses, fat houses, skinny houses, long houses, nappy haired houses, curly haired houses, straight hair houses, slant eye houses, whatever house that will open to him. Hallelujah. He lives in it. For what reason? To bring the kingdom of God to earth. That's why God lives in you. When you go to your job tomorrow, the government is present on that job. And he wants you to bring about his influence in that job by your moral standards, your value system, your attitude, your forgiveness, your love, your patience with those people. And they ask you, why are you so different? And your answer will be, my kingdom is not of this world. That's what he wants. Different. The problem is the disciples had built their lives around his physical self. And they were afraid to lose it. That's why in Mark 14, 50, when they arrested Jesus, the Bible says they what? They forsook him. See, they thought that the arrest of Jesus was the arrest of Christ. You're slow. Jesus was the body. Christ was the resident. That's the counselor. That is the governor. So the disciples thought they took away our Lord. Ready for this? The whole thing was a setup. Oh, I feel like screaming now, going home. The devil is the biggest fool in the world. The devil let the cat out the bag. Can I use that term? See, if he did leave Jesus alone, we'd still be trapped. He said, look, if I go to the cross, I'll be able to draw all men, 6 billion, unto me. If you let me go to the cross. The cross was the unscrewing of the cap that held the eternal God. Calvary was the greatest mistake the devil made. He opened the can. Oh, give God a praise. God, I know God was laughing. God would say, this is a setup. Now watch this. Two things happened on the cross. Two things. One, the detergent came out. And two, the governor came out. That's a double whammy. The blood that was spilled was for the cleansing of the world. And the death was the release of the governor to fill all the vessels that would be cleansed by the blood that came out. I thank God I'm one of the vessels. How about you? Can you just scream for 5 seconds? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! He is our God. He lives in me. Say it. He lives in me. Say, welcome home, Governor. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It says, keep it holy. Keep it clean. And that's why you don't contaminate your body. It's not your house. It's the house of the governor. Keep it clean. Well, it's one last verse. Luke 4. And we can pick up here next week. Please don't miss next week. It's going to get gooder. I feel his presence. Do you feel his presence? Praise God. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Say it. Jesus, full, how was he? Full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. He had just been baptized by John. And what happened? The heavens opened. And what came down? The Holy Spirit. And it says, he was filled with him. There wasn't nothing left for anywhere else. He was the personification of all of God. That's why he wasn't anywhere else for 33 and a half years. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And then he was led by the Holy Spirit, see the capital S there, to the desert to be tested. 40 days he fasted. And he was tempted, tested by the devil. And you know the devil did, of course. He ate nothing during those days, fasting. See, when you want the Holy Spirit capacity to expand, you got to stop eating. Jesus was eating when he went to that baptism. But when the confirmation of the Holy Spirit's fullness hit that body, he says, I got to make sure there's no competition inside me. That's what fasting is about. A lady came to me after the fast 2 weeks ago. She said, Pastor Miles, I was on 3 or 4 pills. Couldn't sleep. She says, after the fast, say, her husband was afraid. Husband kept watching to see if she's going to fall out. She says, I have no more pills. I'm sleeping like a baby, and I ain't going back. She says, when is the next fast? Give God a hand. When the Holy Spirit capacity is expanded, he says, your healing shall rise speedily. Thank God you're going to walk in health in Jesus' name. Because the Holy Spirit fills you. Christ fasted to increase the capacity of his flow through his life. And that's what made him so powerful. Because when he came out of the desert, right after this, the first person he met was a demon, you know. A demon-possessed man met him. And he was loaded, man. He was power-packed. Don't meet him after 40. Don't meet God after 40 days of fast. Meeting God alone is trouble. Meeting him 40 days empty, oh God, that's double trouble. And the Bible says the demon, when the demon saw him, it says the man fell on his face and the demons, plural, cried out and says, we know who thou art. Thou art the Christ. Have you come to destroy it before the time? They recognized him. And his answer was, shut up. Come out. I do not need the validation of the demon, he says. I know who I am. I don't need a demon to testify for me. That's why he told the man, tell no man I did this. Go home to your family. Because I don't need no testimony from no demon. I am God all by myself. I don't need no amen corner from no demon. Praise God. Cast the demon out. And from that day forward, miracles followed him everywhere he went. Because he was God in the flesh. And when he left, and next week, you're going to see the beauty of this. That the Holy Spirit is now yours. The governor is in the colony. And he's back home. And what you got to do now is learn how to do business with him. How to use his legislative gifts. How to use his powers. How to deliver his wonders to the world. And bring about the change of the kingdom in your world. And we're going to learn those gifts and those fruits. We're going to learn about tongues. As a matter of fact, there was a tongues tonight. Beautiful tongue tonight. And the Holy Spirit gave me a little nudge. You know, he said, I want you to demonstrate something so they can see what that was. So let me demonstrate it now. This is what I saw. The Holy Spirit showed me this tonight. You're from the Philippines, right? Yeah? What language do you all speak in the Philippines? Okay, come here. Okay? She's from the Philippines. Okay. Anyone here from Haiti? Haiti. I need a Haitian. Speak Creole? Yeah? Come here. Okay. I want to show you what tongues are like. Okay? Come. Come, sweetheart. All right. Mexican? Any Mexicans here? Spanish? Who speaks Spanish? You Bahamian Mexican, eh? All right. Anybody else here from another country? That speaks another language. I want another language. Spanish? Oh, that little fella speaks Spanish? Yeah, the children speak Spanish for true. They know what they're talking about. I need a microphone. Can you get a microphone for me, please? All right. I wanted to demonstrate something for me. Okay, come stand here, son. Okay. See, I want you to understand that the gifts of the Spirit are very practical. We've made them spooky. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Now, she is not from the Bahamas. He is not from the Bahamas, heritage-wise. Okay? They're from other countries. Okay. I want you to speak Filipino. Say the Lord's Prayer in Filipino. Okay? Go ahead.
Ama namin, sumasalangit ka, sambahin ang ngalan mo, mapasa amin ang karain mo, sundin ang loob mo dito sa lupa para nang sa langit. bigyan mo po kami ngayon ng aming kakainin sa araw-araw at patawarin mo kami sa aming mga sala gaya ng pagpapatawad namin sa nagkakasala sa amin. At huwag mo kami ipahintulot sa tukso at iadyan mo kami sa dilang masama. Amen.
Okay. Did you understand her? No. Okay. No. Listen, you didn't understand her, right? Okay. But is she making sense? To who? The people from her country. Okay. Say Lord's Prayer. Okay. Then just say, the Lord is my shepherd. Okay. Then say anything in Creole.
Bonjour, comment est-ce?
Go ahead, say some more.
Nous sommes Céline, comment est-ce?
Okay, you understand? No child. Okay, now, did he make sense to you?
No.
But is he making sense to anybody?
Yes.
Who? The people back in Haiti. So she's making sense to the people back in Philippines. He's making sense to the people back in Haiti, but they're both making no sense here. Now, because you cannot understand her, does that make her language invalid? No. You can't understand him. Does it make it invalid?
No.
So can you say that the language ain't real?
No.
It's real. If you believe in what she said or not, does it change the fact that her language is real?
No.
It's real. Okay. Now, she speaks English. She learned English. It's not her native language. She learned English. So, English is not her native language. Okay? So, when she goes back to the Philippines, or when she picks up the phone and calls back home, she shifts into Filipino. While she is in Nassau. When he connects, go back home, he kicks into Creole in the Bahamas because he's talking back home. Some of you are getting it. So you can speak in tongues on earth because you pick up the phone. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh mysteries unto God, and those around him doth not understand him. So if you want information from the Bahamas, you speak English. Right? But if she wants information from back home, so when you talk about prayer, the Bible says you should pray in tongues more than you pray in English. Because you don't want no one to send no fax to interpret what you're talking about in heaven. You want direct line. Can I hear an amen? And tongues is direct line. And the Bible says the Spirit knoweth the mind of God. Therefore, if you pray, you know that he heareth you. And that you have the things you ask of him because the Holy Spirit helping you to pray. So the governor is your direct contact with the country.
Yes.
And that's why you and I must desire spiritual gifts, especially to speak in tongues and to prophesy. Because it's information from hometown. Can I hear an amen? It's when you get information from hometown. And tonight you heard a wonderful reminder. God gave us a prophetic word tonight in tongues. An interpretation came. And I heard God's word. God's word tonight was very simple. He says, and he said the same thing through three different people. The same thing. He says, look, stop worrying about stuff. Just latch on to the kingdom. Everything's covered. That's all he was saying tonight. The hometown telling you, hey, kingdom first, everything else is covered. So you can go home tonight, sleep. Just relax. Why? Because you made the kingdom first. And all your needs will be met. Because he is responsible for you. Thank you very much. Adios, amigo. Je t'aime aussi. That's all I know in Creole. Don't ask me nothing else. Were you blessed tonight? Praise God.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.